Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I get a lot of people, they pop up in my DMs, the messages, and they're like, you saved my life. And it's because a lot of people just want to hear that they're not bad.
Well, we've all been pushed around.
Hello and welcome to It's Complicated with me, Tanya Gooden, the podcast to help you untangle your relationship with your phone.
Because we've all been pushed around.
This is a podcast about learning to live healthily and happily with technology and the digital world, and understanding why sometimes it's so hard to do. Because if we learn how to step away from our phones more, we'll be learning how to step in more to our lives, improving our relationships, our work, and our health.
Because we've all been swept away, yeah.
I'm your host, Tanya Gooden, author and founder of digital wellbeing movement Time to Log Off. Each week I'll be asking a new guest what they've learned about the relationship with the tiny tyrant in their pocket, their smartphone.
We all know, don't we, that kind of glow you feel when you come away from spending an hour or so chatting to a really good friend. And that's exactly how I felt after my interview with this week's guest. Dave Tarnowski is the founder of the hugely popular Nick Cave and the Bad Memes account on Instagram, which has morphed from being a memes account into something bigger. Because through his Instagram stories, he's become a kind of internet therapist. He offers advice on the fly to his huge follower base. He's incredibly watchable, really warm, empathetic, kind of issues the advice you'd all like to get from a really good friend. Really, really loved chatting to him. As I said, I came away with a real glow afterwards, and I really hope that listening to him has the same effect on you.
So Dave, hi, welcome. Welcome to It's Complicated. So I literally know almost nothing about you apart from your Nick Cave and the Bad Memes account. So when I was thinking about interviewing you, I thought, well, actually I don't even know how it all started, how you got into memes, what your background is. So I thought, well, we'll start with that. So, where do you come from, and what made you set up? What made you set up this fantastically funny memes account?
Oh, well, thank you. So where I come from is New York and the good old US of A, the greatest disaster on earth right now. And I was a fiction writer. I had told myself for 26 years that I was a fiction writer, but I kept trying to write novels and I never finished them. And so I decided, you know what? Fuck novels. I'm going to write the shortest things possible. And I just started making memes. Initially, I started making what I called anti-inspirational memes. And so I would go and I was living in Brooklyn at the time and right near Prospect Park, which is really, really beautiful.
I know that, yeah.
There you go. And so I would go and I would take photos of these beautiful trees and I would just write inane things over them, like follow your stupid dreams or, you know.
Inspirational quotes. Yeah.
But like anti-inspirational, sort of just
right,
like. I was seeing all of these schmaltzy kind of things that people would share. And I was like, you know, put an edge to it. But after a while, that seemed a little negative to me. It seemed really like, what am I doing here? You know, I should be positive. I shouldn't be like this. So then just randomly, I was in a Nick Cave group on Facebook, and I started making memes, and people hated them. I mean, just like with a passion, hated them because they were
like, because they were such Nick Cave fans, they didn't want you to do anything kind of that might look like it was dissing Nick Cave. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, to be honest, my early memes weren't that good, you know. It was and a lot of them were a little mean, you know, and they were really geared towards that. But so once, you know, I felt like I don't belong here. I need to find a place that I belong. And so I ended up creating my own group, which stayed about 200 members for like 3 years. It was just a real niche thing. And then I started the Instagram page. And the Instagram page didn't take off immediately. But around January of last year was when it really, really started going. And that was when I started really getting into mental health stuff. I remember so it was this one particular meme that started it all. I had just gone to the doctor and gotten on Prozac. And I posted a meme, and in the caption of the meme, I said to people, hey, I just started on this stuff, wondering what you think. And that really started the ball rolling as far as like doing memes about depression and anxiety and relationship memes.
So I was going to ask you why Nick Cave, but was it just because you were in the Facebook group and that's where you kind of, because you got a Twin Peaks one as well, haven't you? Sad
yes.
Peaks.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I've been flirting with opening some other ones, but why Nick Cave? He's just so damn memeable. I mean, he's just like, he's a walking meme, isn't he?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he is also one of my absolute favorite artists, right? But I do have artists that I love that I just look at them and I'm like, I can't meme you. Like, you're just like...
unmemeable. Or whatever the verb is.
Yeah. Or at least for me. You know, like one of my gods is Mike Patton. And I'm just like, I can't, like, I don't know.
It's a step too far.
Yeah, a little bit. But so Nick Cave, and it really started as just Nick Cave. And I was really, really like precious about that. And then around the time that I started doing, you know, mental health stuff, I was like, fuck it, let me bring in some other people I like. And so it became like The Cure and David Bowie and pretty much anyone that I sort of decided that day I wanted to work on.
So you've now got this massive following of people who come to you, I mean, through your Instagram stories, particularly for advice, for mental health advice. So you've opened up this whole kind of new avenue. You're not just sharing the memes. People are actually coming to you with their questions, issues. Tell me how all that started.
Well, it's funny because I actually care so much less about the memes now. And it's really become like this morning ritual of, so every night before I go to sleep, I post what's known as a story sticker. And it's that thing where I put what's on your mind. It's a little box for people to type in stuff. And then in the morning I wake up and it's like, Christmas. It's like all these gifts of, you know.
But you must get thousands. Thousands.
Not thousands, but hundreds. Hundreds a day. And believe me, that's enough. I mean, I don't think I could cope with thousands. I don't have enough time in the day. But really, it started this past summer. I was going through a lot of personal issues, as pretty much we all do, if not all of us do.
Yeah.
And so I just started reaching out even more. Like I had already been reaching out through the memes and the captions of the memes, but I really just wanted to talk. And I wasn't even sure what it was that I wanted at the time. And it just became this beautiful thing, you know, and other people have called me like an agony aunt, kind of.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think the fact that you sit there with your dressing gown, we call it a dressing gown, we call it a bathrobe,
right,
don't
you? Right.
That kind of adds to the feeling that you're just sitting there giving advice to a friend, I think.
That's what I really love about it. It's and you know what? I mean, it's advice. So take it or leave it. You know, it's my perspective. I am not saying I am the final word on things. And if people write in with some serious stuff that is beyond my, I'm always telling them, see a therapist.
Yeah, know? I've noticed it's you like, quite a few times saying you need to talk to your doctor about that.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's also tricky because I get a lot of people writing in. And I mean, seriously, like, I'm about to kill myself, you know, and it's hard, you know, but I've been there, you know, and so I will tell them, go see somebody, but I will also say there's no hope if you kill yourself, you know, but there's always hope if you stick it out and just know that this will pass, everything passes. And I get a lot of people. They pop up in my DMs, the messages, and they're like, you saved my life, you know? And it's because a lot of people just want to hear that they're not bad.
Yeah. Do you feel a pressure, though? Because, I mean, if you get hundreds every day, do you ever find yourself worrying, you know, what it, because you clearly can't respond to all of them. Do you find yourself worrying, well, what if I miss the one person that's, you know, really needs to speak to me? Or do you, I mean, you know, how do you manage that? Because you clearly can't spend hours every day answering all those questions.
Well, I do.
Yeah, well, having said that, I've seen your feed, yes. But you can't, yeah, I mean, physically you can't answer everything. Yeah. So.
No, and certainly not every day. You know, like if I'm going through my own shit, I'm like, I'm sorry, but your shit is not, you know, my main problem right now. But for the most part, I can. And the thing was, I really set up boundaries for myself fairly early on, where it's like, I am not taking on this pain. You know, I am sharing my pain. And I am an empath, basically, so I can feel things for people. But I know by now, I can't take on the weight of the world. I can only do so much. I could only do what I can do. And so that's really served me well, where it's like, you know, I guess it's sort of like a therapist, where it's like at the end of the day, you go about your business. And this is like, I mean, I don't want to say this is my job, because I mean, I don't get paid for it yet, you know, but I never knew I would enjoy helping people until I started helping people. I say that all the time.
I was going to ask you how much of what you do is for your own mental health. You know, when you set up the memes account originally, was part of that, you know, I know you've got a background of being a writer, but was also part of it thinking this is going to help me produce these memes?
You know, when I started, I don't think I thought of myself in terms of like having mental health problems or whatever. I think I was just like, oh, this is fun, you know? And it wasn't until definitely a few years into it that I was like, oh, this is something that I care about and I am becoming more honest about with myself. And it literally wasn't until this past April that I got officially diagnosed as bipolar.
Right. Oh, gosh. And yeah, I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah. And it's great because I figured out what I need. And that's the thing that I can't recommend enough to people, is actually going, not being afraid of the diagnosis. Cause when he said bipolar, I was like, that makes so much sense, you know, cause who knows you more than you? You're living with you every single day. So yeah, this stuff wasn't, it wasn't always about mental health, but probably in the background it was. You know? You had asked earlier why Nick Cave, right? Well, one thing I could say is it's not a far leap to assume that Nick Cave fans also have mental health issues, at the very least, depression. I'm not being cheeky about that much, but one of my favorite things that somebody can comment on one of my memes is I feel seen.
Mm. So talk me through the process of how you put a meme together. Do you come up with the message first and then the image? What's the creative process of doing that?
It's the image first. It's always been the image for me. And sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes, like, I mean, literally I have like 60,000 photos on my phone at this point.
Yeah.
And there are some, the meme community, we don't call them photos. We call them templates, right?
Okay. Good to know the right words. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I do say that very cheekily because the meme community to me is just like, oh, come on. It's sort of ridiculous. So I've always been calling them photos, but so I flip through photos. There are some that I use over and over because I just love them. And I feel like I could get so much more out of them than I have already. And that's sort of a fiction writer thing, right? It's like every story has been written. It's just a matter your take on it.
Repurposing it.
Yeah, exactly. So so I approach it like that, where it's just like, all right, you know, where am I at today? And sometimes I surprise myself. You know, quite often I disappoint myself. But, you know, that's sort of the nature of modern content producers. It's like you need to always be out there. And you know what? That honestly is more tiring than anything I could do talking to people.
Well, creating that. Yeah, that's interesting. Because I would have thought answering the questions was more exhausting when you're in the story.
It's really like people ask me things that, like, first of all, it feels a bit like therapy, right? And therapy for me.
Yeah.
You know? Where I'm going in and I'm just like, well, here's what I think, you know, and here's what's affecting me. But in therapy, you don't quite often get prompts like this, you know?
Yeah. You get a lot of silences, don't you, in therapy?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And sort of the beautiful thing about this whole thing is I'm staring at my face, right? So when I'm recording these videos, I'm staring right at me. There's no hiding. And I'm telling myself things. I'm giving myself advice that I need to take. And quite often I'm not. And, you know, that's not easy to deal with. But I'm getting better at it. You know, I mean, through helping others, I have grown so much over the past year. It's been a revelation.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I was talking to someone the other day about your feed. He said, I start watching it thinking I'm only going to watch him for a few minutes. And then I spend hours watching it because it's so gripping. And I had exactly the same experience. So I was looking at some stuff this afternoon and I had a teenager with me. And one of the questions that popped up was, should I start smoking weed? And I thought, oh my God, I've got a 17-year-old sitting here. What are you going to say? And of course, your answer was perfect, which is, well, if you start smoking weed, you're going to go down a slippery slope to, you know, lots of other stuff as well. But it was great. The variety of stuff that you're dealing with was, yeah, it just felt like chatting to a friend.
Yeah,
it was you're very, very watchable.
Thank you.
So one of the things you were having a bit of a rant about was Instagram's algorithm. So tell me about what's been happening with that.
So Instagram is, I love it and I just hate it so much at the same time. Because basically,
like everyone uses Instagram. Yeah.
You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it whatsoever. And they don't tell you anything. Right? Like I complain to them like daily. You could go into this little thing, help, something's not working. And I'm just like, why is nobody seeing my stuff? Like literally I have 144,000 people and, you know, it's okay. On the one hand, I could be like, all right, maybe that meme sucked, right? Sometimes it's not always great, but to go from, and I'm not even talking about likes really, but the comments, you know, to go from 100 comments one day to like 10 the next, it's like, come on, you know, I know something, because their algorithm is just like, it's really meant to prefer celebrities.
And, I think also they want everyone to pay to sponsor their posts. I think that's what's happened. And that's really obvious, I agree with you, in about the last year or so.
Yeah.
You don't get anything like the engagement you did because I think the plan is we all get so frustrated we then pay because that's how they're making money out of it.
And you know, I've literally written them and said, people are coming for my page. These are people that you're putting up your sponsored ads every 5 photos for. Because, but by the way, that stuff stops after you get past 100,000. Then suddenly it's like something changes with your profile. It was really interesting to get there. But no, it's something that it's sort of a blessing in disguise because it's getting me to care about the feed less. You know, it's really like I'm caring about the stories more. And, you know, I was on another podcast the other day with this guy, Sean Glass, who's this really, really interesting fellow. And he was talking about how it's not like building higher and higher now, it's building horizontally. And so like, I just need to add things to my repertoire. And so I've been talking with the producer about my own podcast, which I'm very excited about. I just recorded a pilot, but it's like everything is being held up right now. And, you know, cause the world's falling apart. But which I totally get, you know, and I'm just like, no, but let me with my white experience, you know, and it's sort of like, maybe not right now is not the time. But
that's why we need memes more than ever, though, don't we? I mean, we need things that are going to make us laugh, because otherwise we'll be banging our heads against the wall.
Well, and also I think people forget. Right. That it's like whenever like there's something big that's got the focus right now, it doesn't mean everything else disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean someone's depression didn't just get worse, you know. Yeah. And so when it all started, you know, it was like the main focus, like, all right, if you're white, shut up. Right. But mainly it's white people telling other white people that. Mm-hmm. And so Instagram just became this weird, like, quiet space for a couple of weeks. And I was just like, you know what? That's bullshit. I am not dealing with that anymore. I'm going back to doing what I was doing because what I'm doing is helping people. Even if it's making people laugh, it's helping people.
Yeah. So apart from the frustration with Instagram, has there been any other aspect of developing this kind of online persona, you know, having these feeds that's had a negative impact on your health or mental health? Because obviously the subject matter of this podcast is our relationship with technology, our relationship with the digital world. And I'm always really interested when I speak to someone like you who has, you know, a big following and people who, you know, kind of need what you're offering, whether that, you know, there's kind of a negative, there's a downside for you. You know, you're spending a lot of time filming stuff. You're spending a lot of time, as you said, staring at your face. you know, is there any downside or is there any upside for you?
Oh, well, you know, I'm sure there's a downside. The thing with me is, I mean, from when I was 15 years old and I got on AOL, you know, you remember AOL?
Oh, I remember AOL. Yeah. Practically no one else listening to this podcast will remember AOL.
And the lovely sound of the modem.
The
you
modem
know,
dialing up.
You know, ever since then, I've largely lived my life online. And so now it's easier. You know, one of the big upsides about this is as much as I try to reach out to others and help them accept themselves, that's what I've been doing for 42 years. You know, I mean, look, I could sit here and talk to you about childhood trauma for another hour. I know we don't have that time. But, you know, when I think back to, you know, probably the roots of my depression is childhood trauma. The roots of my anxiety is childhood trauma. And one of the things that I love is like somebody the other day asked me, what's your guilty pleasure? And I said to them, I don't really have guilty pleasures anymore. I just have pleasures now because I accept
that. I love that. Yeah. Nothing to feel guilty about. So have you had any bad experiences with people posting questions? I noticed there was one, I think it was yesterday, where there was clearly someone who'd asked you the same thing a couple of times. Or there was someone where you said, you keep asking me this question or you keep coming back with different versions. I thought, I picked up on that. But, I wonder if you've got a few people that are, you know, a bit tricky to handle.
Yeah. Look, there's always going to be that. You know, there is always going to, like, I'm dealing with the general public. Not everybody is going to be a walk in the park. But that also to go back to something that you said earlier, like, aren't I worried that I'm going to miss a chance for someone? No, because they always show up. Like, I have literally seen people be like, I'm going to kill myself. And then tomorrow they're like, what do you think about Wilco? And I'm like, all right.
You're okay.
You got past that. You know, but it's overall, it's fine. And I do have the power of I could ignore people, you know, I could just choose to go, nah. But honestly,
do you have times when you're not on the screen? Do you have time when you're not on the feed and you just think I'm going to spend a couple of days off? Or are you pretty much always on?
I try to, and it always pulls me back because I love it, you know, and it's not work to me all the time. Sometimes it feels like work, and those are the times where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go do something else. But to get to the core of what your show is ostensibly about, I definitely have an addiction to my phone. I definitely have an addiction to social media and to electronics. And if I'm not looking at my phone, I'm looking at the TV, and then I ignore the TV and look at my phone and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta rewind because whatever I was watching, I just missed half of.
So
it's a problem, but the way I always think is like, if I can make something good out of something not so good, then it balances out a little bit, I hope.
Well, yeah, no, it does. I mean, as I said, I think you're very watchable and very kind of warm and empathetic. And that, you know, that really comes across, that you're enjoying helping people, particularly when you watch the stories.
Yeah, it's one thing that a lot of the, I don't want to say kids these days, but you know, they like
kids,
to say
wholesome. Yeah.
Yeah, they like to say wholesome. I'm very wholesome. You know,
I think you're the best friend that would really tell you what to do. You know, everyone needs that friend that says, this is actually what you need to do, instead of telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah, and it's probably because I've always had a problem with friendships. You know, yeah. I've never had many in my life, and this goes back to childhood trauma again. And so this is sort of a way, this is totally out of my comfort zone, but, or it was. Now I have no problem with it. I mean, I think you could tell, it's just like, it's very natural. Yeah. But yeah. Last summer it was like, all right, I'm going to show my face. Hopefully someone cares, you know? And it's been really uplifting. It's been really validating.
Well, I definitely want to recommend anyone who's listening to go and look at your account and definitely look at your stories. Apart from Sad Peaks, what other kind of projects have you got? You've mentioned your podcast. What else have you got kind of coming up that you want to do? You said there was possibly another memes account you were thinking about.
Possibly another memes account. I'm not sure what it would be. Like, Nick Cave and the Bad Memes is way more than just Nick Cave and the Bad Memes, but it's still got its particular flavor. And yeah. I've sort of always wanted to just have an account where I do whatever the hell I want and just start it from there, because it's so hard to start to change something that's already got a built-in group of followers, like Sad Peaks, for instance. The thing that I love about that page is I do the same thing that I do at the other account. It's like, it's usually about mental health or relationships or whatever, but it's with photos from Twin Peaks, because I love that show.
It's such a memeable show, isn't it?
Again, yes. Yeah. And, you know, I totally could do so many other shows. It's like I've thought about Mad Men, because that's another one that's super memeable.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, as far as next projects, though, ironically, I think I want to write a book, but this time it's not fiction. You know, this time I want to do more of a memoir / self-help kind of thing. We'll see.
Because that's
that.
Very much where you're going, isn't it? If you think about your story, I could see, I could definitely see the link in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, look, I can't shut up. So it's not like I have a problem, you know,
coming
filling
out with
a few
words.
Hundred pages. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is and ironic, because we started this interview with you saying you couldn't finish a novel.
Yeah.
So now you've got the words, because it's a different form of communication.
Well, because it's not hiding behind other characters, and it's not making something, you know, something it's not. You know, when I'm talking straight truth, it's very different. You know, so part of me, like, one of my things now, I've made enough mistakes in my life, but that's how you learn. I try not to regret anything. So all of those books, all of those novels that I have sitting around, you know, I probably have like 3,000, 4,000 pages worth of half-baked novels. But all of that was learning experience. And so if I start writing personal stuff, I have my own style. It's already there. I'm totally cool with that. And I'm definitely interested in getting that going.
So I always finish the podcast by asking the same three questions. So if you're up for that, I'm going to ask you, if you had one message to give to everyone listening about their phone or tech or digital habits, what would you like them to think about? What would your message be?
Oh, that's a good question. Do something good with them. I always say, like, when people watch my stories, they're just like, you know, how do you do this or whatever? And I'm like, anybody can do this. You just have to do it. You know, everything starts from nothing. And so, just do something good with it. especially nowadays, if everything is about the revolution or, you know, supporting and protesting stuff, use your voice, use your platform.
No matter how small it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Make it count. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you got a tip that works for you about kind of trying to get a balance around that whole, you know, online, offline world? Is there any, or do you just not bother with that at all? You can be honest with me. Some people don't. Some people don't. And some people are really, you know, kind of no phone in the bedroom. I don't have my phone while I'm watching TV. I know you do that. So, yeah, is there anything you do, or do you just think, actually, I go with the flow?
You know, the one thing that I will say is get out for a bit, you know? And so one thing that I like to do every single day is go. So I live in Washington, D.C., the, you know, not far from the Orange Menace. And I absolutely love this city, though. And it's just so walkable and so pretty.
It's beautiful, yes. Yeah.
And I don't look at my phone when I'm walking. Mm. So at least that's a detox. But when I'm home, it's like, it's almost never not in my hand.
Full on screens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to get out. Definitely.
Yes.
That's one of the things actually I talk to people about a lot, that although, you know, you see people all the time, don't you, walking and looking at their phones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I passed somebody along the river. I live in London, and I passed somebody along the river who was watching a film on her iPad as she was walking. And I thought, you're going to walk into a tree in a minute.
And London's so pretty. Why would you not want to?
And it was really pretty where we were walking, or down on the river, a beautiful part of London. Yeah. It was one of those moments when I just thought, yeah, that's, life has just gone too far if people are watching films while they're walking in a location like this. So my final question, is there anything you've learned about yourself from the way you use the digital world? For you, there's a lot of answers to that question, isn't there? But what's it taught you about yourself?
You know, Jesus, which one thing can I pick? Well, I have gained confidence that I never had. I don't know if this is applicable to everybody, but I truly believe if you put yourself out there and you show the world, you're like, this is me. As long as you're not an abhorrent creature, you know, like a white supremacist or whatever, they put themselves out there too. And that's not the best. So I'm not advocating for that. But like, there are so many groups, so many niches everywhere that basically, if you have an interest, you can find other people who have an interest. But sometimes you need to be the brave one to be like, hey, who's into this? Yeah. And so just try it. Just like open up. You will be amazed at what you get back in return.
Yeah, that's a really positive note to finish on, actually, isn't it? Because largely people are pretty nice and supportive online. You know, I do talk to people about some of the downside, but actually 90% of what happens is supportive and encouraging. And you've created your tribe. That's what you've done online, haven't you? You've stood there and said, this is what I'm all about. Come and talk to me, and found your tribe.
Sometimes you have to really work towards figuring out what that tribe is.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody wants it like right away. It's like, no, sometimes it's going to take years, but then it'll be beautiful.
Yeah. And you knew the Nick Cave fans weren't going to be the number one fans of the memes. But you found a whole new community that was. Yeah.
But ironically, you know, so now it's like 5 years from when I started the Facebook group. And now a lot of the people who hated it, they share my memes all the time.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so
sometimes it takes people a while to come around.
To come around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed this chat. It's been great.
Thank you, Tanya. I really appreciate you inviting me on. This has been excellent.
And I hope you do launch your own podcast, because I think it'd be absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of It's Complicated. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps other people find us, and it means you get a helpful little notification when a new episode becomes available. For more about getting a healthy balance with tech, you can follow me, Tanya Goodin, or Time to Log Off on Instagram and Twitter. And both my books, Off and Stop Staring at Screens, are available on Amazon and at all good bookshops. Finally, for more information about this and other episodes in the podcast series, visit itstimetologoff.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.